Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
A local historian has been working for years to solve a 60-year-old mystery. Who is buried in the Metfern Cemetery in Waltham? That's the resting place of nearly 300 residents from two now-closed institutions for people with mental and physical disabilities. Their identities and their stories would have been lost forever if not for one man's commitment and a partnership with local high schoolers. Our producer, Eve Zuckoff, has the story.
I'll introduce you to one person right now.
This is Yoni Cadden, a teacher at the private Gann Academy in Waltham. We've just walked about 15 minutes off Trapello Road, into the woods, down a dirt path, and stopped as the trail opens to a clearing the size of a football field.
Let's see here. That looks like
C1. That's it.
Ralph O'Connell.
Cadden is pointing to what looks like a cinder block, half sunk into the ground. Etched across the face of the stone marker is the letter C and the number 1. There are similar markings, C12, C18, C21, on other weather-beaten stones around us. On the other side of the cemetery, there are other markers, P8, P13, P7. These are graves, marked C for Catholic, P for Protestant, and a number for the order in which they were buried. Also here with us is Frank Tipton, the head of the Gann School. Last summer, he was walking through these woods with his husband when they discovered a small statue of Jesus and a faded, broken sign identifying the Metfern Cemetery.
So at this point, we stopped and just stared at the space and asked two questions. How could this possibly be understood as a cemetery in any proper, dignified, or respectful fashion? And second, how does a school have a cemetery?
Tipton is referring to the Fernald School, which, along with the Metropolitan State Hospital, once housed children and adults with mental and physical disabilities. Many of them are buried here. Tipton's questions about the cemetery led him to Alex Green, a historian and fellow at Harvard Law School. He's been studying the Metfern Cemetery for the last 4 years.
Almost everything to do with the cemetery's recent history, I think, is people with good intentions not being sure whether they're the person who can and has the right to take the first step. But why and how this happened, we don't know. It's our job to try to know. We may never know.
But in June of 2018, Green had a breakthrough. Using newly released town records, Green retrieved the names of all 298 people buried here. But he wanted to know more than just their names. And for that, he needed help. So he collaborated with Frank Tipton and history teacher Yoni Cadden of Gann Academy to create a course called Disability History. Part of the curriculum is to tell the stories of these forgotten people.
The fact that they were buried here in Waltham with no names, no anything really, and we're just trying to bring some dignity to the project, I think it's just really powerful.
This is Beck Steinberg, a junior at Gann Academy, who says she's treating her research as more than just a homework assignment.
This is right here in our backyard, and there's this whole, like, little world that we had no idea about, and it's just kind of incredible to realize that these people had lives and, you know, families and everything, and they were just living in this space, which most people don't even know exists.
Bex and her classmates have each been given one name to research. Using census data, ancestry.com, and vital records, they're building profiles of each forgotten person. Their names include Lucien Goyette, Eliza McCrae, Archibald Chaffley, Elizabeth Doherty, and the list goes on. Historian Alex Green has collected their names and information in a spreadsheet that gets more and more personal.
It includes who their parents were, what country they came from, if they ever worked, what their job was, if they were immigrants, whether they were veterans or not. It basically tells the story of someone's life in a single row.
The document also includes details about how each person died at the Fernald School and Metropolitan State Hospital. an 8-year-old named George Oros fell out of his wheelchair, fractured his skull, and died. A 66-year-old man named Claude Moran was scalded in a shower and died a few days later from his burns. Another man, Daniel Mower, spent almost 47 years at the Fernald School before he succumbed to tuberculosis. This is part of the grim history of the Fernald, where residents were fed radioactive oatmeal for a research study in the 40s and 50s. Now these stories are being reconnected to real names, to real people.
I'd say it's a lot of injustice to look straight on in the face, right? It's overwhelming.
And emotional. Alex Green has pored over reams of documents exploring the history of these institutions and the people who lived and died in them.
It's thousands, right? Thousands of stories.
Difficult as it is to learn about many of these stories, Alex Green says the history of the Fernald School is complicated.
The Fernald School was at times the first and greatest place for anyone with certain kinds of disability to get any help. And at other times, one of the most monstrous places in our history. And at many points, both of those things at once, for different people leading different lives on a different day in the place.
Thanks to this project, some of the family members of those buried here have been able to visit these once anonymous graves. Alex Green says his work won't stop until he's produced profiles of all 298 people buried in the Metfern Cemetery.
That story from Radio Boston producer Eve Zukoff. Stay with us. Coming up, Sigrid Nunes, winner of the 2018 National Book Award, talks about her new novel, The Friend. I'm Callum Borchers. This is Radio Boston.